speak after Amir and Sini have sung and Chloe has played. It'd be foolhardy to try to say anything, but that's what I must do. but the Creator revealed to the angels that the humans had a certain ability, a certain knowledge distinct to them. The humans knew the names of all things, could speak the names. And this is of the nature of our life on earth, to speak. In fact, Moshe says that the soul only fully incarnates when a child first speaks, not yet at the moment of conception, not yet when the heart begins to beat in the womb, not yet at the moment of birth, but when the child speaks, then is the fullness of incarnation. This ability to articulate the breath in meanings receivable by others, to communicate between ourselves and create between ourselves understanding, visions, an ever deepening exploration of our condition individually and collectively. This is Logos, this is the divine word manifest in our human condition between ourselves. And it is a profoundly sacred activity. But this is not to say that all of our utterances have been sacred ones, or even honest ones. Having been endowed with this tremendous privilege to communicate the word, we have forgotten, fallen into distraction and confusion and intoxication, and our words have come out all garbled. Speech can do good, but it can also do harm. The prophets and the sages have illuminated the kinds of harmful speech, and an understanding of this is necessary, even though it may be difficult to assimilate, because when the ego is self-willed, it exalts in its seeming freedom and wants no constraint, wants no limitations on its prerogatives. It wants wants to say whatever comes to the tip of the tongue, and to study the causes and effects of harmful speech is not a study we wish to undertake, because that study would require a change. A change which would seem to limit its freedom. Although in truth, it is only through this purification that real freedom is possible. What seems on the surface freedom is really a kind of enslavement. Enslavement to conditioning. Oftentimes, truthfulness begins with little deviations that one justifies because it would seem to make no difference. No one will be harmed. But the habit once assumed grows, and there is no boundary anymore between truth and falsehood. Hence, certain stricture is necessary to maintain the absolute sincerity, the transparency upon which the heart, the health of the heart depends, to be honest and sincere in everything one says. This allows the heart to breathe, because untruths are a disguise that will be one day unmasked, and that threat of unmasking produces fear. Our wish is to live fearlessly, and to live fearlessly is to live honestly. Another kind of speech that harms is that speech which is divisive. It stirs up controversy for the sake of controversy. Impish, that likes to provoke, to polarize, to create drama. The result is friction, falling out among people, a state of discord. And let us never underestimate the consequences of such kinds of provocations, because such energies proliferate. A rumor burgeons with each telling, and fears are magnified, and the result all too often is violence and war. Great calamities begin with words. Still another kind of harmful speech is that speech which denigrates, that humiliates, that is intended to degrade someone, to mock someone. That is poisonous speech, and it embitters the very tongue of the one who speaks in such a way. How can the heart stay healthy? How can the heart live well and grow when the tongue is occupied? the speaker is grave injury to his own or her own heart. Not to mention the injury that is done to the one to whom such words are addressed. A word can penetrate deep, and even when spoken only half-heartedly, such a blow is a reminder of earlier blows. The speaker cannot know of the injuries that the one whom he or she mocks has suffered long ago, and how these words now reopen that wound. So may we take good care of one another and of ourselves in how we speak. It is imperative, it is essential to our very humanity. Illustrations of a tongue that has exceeded bounds is the tendency for ceaseless idle chatter, go on and on, meaninglessly, toward no end, saying nothing. The consequence is that when such a person has something to say, something really to say, who will listen? Because everyone has tuned out due to the excess, superfluous words. Whereas when someone who is reserved in speech does speak, that voice is heeded. Great attentiveness, but this is the nature of the path, to be attentive, to be conscious, present, sympathetic, alert. When we reflect in this way, distract oneself and carry on. It's terrible to come to terms with all that one has said. connect. The remorse, the regret, something beautiful. It makes us human. It is the very meaning of sincerity. That is humility. And such humility is what waters the plant and the heart. Those tears. And tomorrow is another day. It's never too late to make a turn, to start anew. Never too late. Moshe says, just because you've been walking in the mud doesn't mean you must continue to walk there. So often that is the despairing determination of people, that I've gone too far now, drenched in mud and hopelessly tainted. There's no hope for me but to keep going on like this. No. There's always a path toward the one, and it's always a straight path from here, from exactly where you are. So, a reckoning is good, but let us not so overburden ourselves with self-judgment that we cannot undertake with the fullest of our powers that journey, which is the journey to truth, justice, peace, love. Having made the reckoning, now leave it in the past. If you're resolved to speak words that are life-giving, that are reverent, and which bless the world and do not curse, then the path is open for you. This path, which calls for a purification of the tongue, purification of the tongue which leads to a purification of the mind. Because the first step is to hold the tongue in check, to refrain from saying that which will do harm. But still we notice it in the mind. The statement is there. The first step is to refrain from uttering it, but it's there in the mind. Then we have to come to terms with it, understand it, where is it coming from, what is the inner answer to it. Stories told of a desert farmer who came out of the desert and was in an assembly. And two demons came and sat beside him on either side. One of the demons poked him and said, "Tell of your exploits in the desert. Tell of all of your visions." And he said to himself, "No, I won't do it." The other demon whispered to him, "Excellent, excellent. How great you are. How wonderful you are." This leads us to the second step of purification, which is the mind have to restrain ourselves, and the body. Then we have to work at the level of watching our own thoughts, understanding where they spring from. Worship speaks of calling a council in your own mind, listening to every voice. Every voice has its vote, but only one vote. And all too often there is that voice which wants to usurp all authority for itself. Let it have its hearing, but it only has one vote, and the whole must be heard. Because that whole, that congregation of all of the aspects of self, represents the fullness of one's being. When we are misguided, it's because we're driven by some fragment of who we are, and not the totality of our being. And it's useful to remember also Moshe's affirmation that every impulse, even the most wayward, has at its root a divine impulse. So even our worst tendencies can be traced back to something good. But that good, that generative motive force has become, along the way, tangled, distorted, blunted. And that's where there's work to be done. So if you consider harmful speech, an example is a gossip. It's the tendency to speak of someone who is not present in a manner that is recriminatory or disrespectful. Well, when it's gathered with friends, and when friends gather, they like sometimes to speak about someone known to them all. It brings people together. So you might observe that behind that word of gossip was a wish to come close to those friends who were gathered together convivially, a wish to be united in the discussion of a shared interest. There's something behind it. See how that wish to communicate friendship has been, on this occasion, taken to the conclusion of speaking unkindly of someone who is not there to defend himself. It's a good principle. Whenever speaking of anyone, to imagine that person in front of you at the time of speaking, whoever it is. So whatever you say about him or her, you do it in the presence of that person, as if looking into his or her eyes. Otherwise, you're speaking always of someone who is absent, and not only absent physically, but also absent from the presence of the heart. Our work is a work of purification of the tongue, then of the mind, then of We learn to consecrate our tongue to first and foremost divine praise, and then to those words that are helpful and friendly and consoling to fellow travelers. There need not be an insistence on dry solemnity. Humor, conviviality, joyfulness in speech bubbles up naturally, and the repression of it would be indeed constrained upon the very logos. Moshe says of humor that it comes when the divine rays pitter-patter on the head, and the effervescence of those descending rays gives rise to a bubbling up of comical joy. So the sincere reflection on harmlessness in speech in no way demands of us to become shriveled and dry, but instead it's a summons to beauty. And our study of beauty derives first and foremost from the study of the divine nature. And that divine nature we study not only with our minds, but also in our breath, with the vocalization of speech, when we call upon the divine names in invocation, in zikr. In this way, the tongue is blessed. So the repetition of the divine names every day blesses the tongue. These words have a sacred power, which results from the manner in which these names are received. They come to us through the transmission. We receive that which we recite from the One who is our guide. And this name has come down from heart to heart through the lineage of saints and masters, going back to the prophets themselves, who received these names as they descended through the spheres. So dispensations of grace that have descended through the planes, have entered human consciousness, and have been passed down from generation to generation in a spirit of reverence. And we find ourselves now today the fortunate recipients of this dispensation. Hence these words have great meaningfulness for us. They are meaningful also because they evoke qualities of being that speak to us, that call to us, that live in us, but which could live more fully if we would open our minds and hearts to receive them. And these words are meaningful because they are mantric, which is to say, each divine name contains a combination of consonants and vowels which resonate and stimulate certain subtle centers. And each name is distinct in this regard. Each opens a different feature of one's inner anatomy. So the guide has to work adeptly in discerning where an opening is called for and offering the name that works there. As an experiment, we could intone four vowels and observe where these sounds vibrate and what is aroused in your physical and subtle anatomy by the vibration of these tones. So let's begin with the sound. blessed and descending down, right down to the sternum. The solar plexus. Now the vowel is satisfaction of needing to say nothing, not needing to justify oneself or explain anything or introduce oneself. Simplicity of wordlessness. Can you find that same quietude in the mind? Abandoning words. And no definitions anymore. Dissolve just as soon as they arise. Let the silence spread to the heart itself. Sacred stillness falls over tongue, the mind, the heart, and the whole world. All motion slows. Thank you. ascending from ancient stillness into the life of the heart, and from the heart sphere into the world of the mind. And at last, returning right down into this physical vehicle of the spirit that is our body and its tongue. We recognize our tongue as God-given organ of speech, and we rededicate it to those words which may cheer and console and befriend